The Quiet by Barnaby Martin. Read by Annabel Scully. This production includes sound effects and music created and composed by the author, as well as an audio-exclusive interview between the narrator Annabel and the author Barnaby. To Mum and Dad. Man, with all his noble qualities, with sympathy which feels for the most debased, with benevolence which extends not only to other men, but to the humblest living creature, with his godlike intellect, which has penetrated into the movements and constitution of the solar system. With all these exalted powers, man still bears in his bodily frame the indelible stamp of his lowly origin. Charles Darwin, The Descent of Man and Selection in Relation to Sex, 1871. Prologue. "Where is the child?" the man says coldly. He takes a step into the flat. "Are they in the bedroom?"
"No, there's no one here," I say in a half voice, paralyzed. "There's no one."
The man strides forward, opens the bedroom door and looks in. "Come on, son."
"Son? He's not your son."
He goes inside and pulls Isaac out by his arm. Isaac screams.
"No, please,"
I say desperately. I try to take Isaac's hand, but the man pushes me to the floor. Isaac is crying softly, reaching out with his free arm, his eyes red and small. The man stares at me.
"Under the Atavism Act of 2043, your son is being adopted."
His tone is officious, short. He's reciting a script.
"Accordingly, he will undergo genetic testing at your local center, and if he passes, he will be taken into the care of the state. If not, he will be returned to you. Do you understand?"
"No, I don't.
My heart is cracking.
"Please don't take him. I'm Dr. Hannah Newnham. Do you know that name?"
Part 1. Chapter 1. I turn over and look at Isaac. He's sleeping on his back, so soundly despite the heat and light. I don't know how he does it. Even after years of sleeping in the day and working at night, I'm still not used to it. For the next few hours, I travel in and out of consciousness, waking each time with sweat dripping down my legs and head, letting sleep find me when it can. I'm alone, suspended in a world of infinite stars and black sky, all compressed, just space and still water. I open my eyes with the alarm. Isaac is already up. He's left his CD player and headphones behind, sitting in the small indent in the mattress left by his body. I fold his sheet over and realign his pillow. They need washing. The smell is deep-rooted. I'll do it later if I can get some soap. I hear him in the kitchen, humming to himself, and I stop at the bedroom door and listen for a while. His voice is sweet and thin, like air passing through straw, and he's singing a tune I haven't heard before, one of his own melodies. It's fragile, like the nursery rhymes I used to sing with Theo when we were young, but more angular. Isaac looks at me when I enter, but he keeps humming, holding on to the last notes of his song. I bring his drawings on the kitchen table into a rough pile, put them to one side and make him breakfast. Some of the bread isn't moldy, and we have a small chunk of butter left over from last week.
"I'll try to get you something nice," I sign. "Some fresh food."